I can't believe you did that. I mean, if I watch one Fast and the Furious movie like every 2 years, that's enough for me.
Are you watching it? Are you watching it chronologically or
No, just release order.
Okay.
So I started with one on Thursday. I watched two and three yesterday, and then today was a new day because I've never seen any of them outside of the original three. So this is just a totally
Wait.
new experience.
So which one is Paul Walker dead? Three or four?
I think seven is when he like dies. So
Oh,
I'm I,
really?
yeah.
Because he died a long. When did he die? It was a while ago.
Well, Fast Six is what I watched recently, and that movie came out in 2013. So that was 10 years ago.
Oh, okay. So it's been that. So
I think it's
the
been.
10th movie just came out, so it's been a while. Okay.
Yeah, he died in 2013.
I was going to
Shot.
say, anyways, welcome back. This is episode 83, TH Fantasy.
83, Ryan, Shane, Craig, how's it going, y'all? Ryan,
What
welcome
up?
back.
Yeah, welcome back from my fishing trip. It was a relaxing week. Caught a bunch of fish,
You
ate a bunch
just,
of fish.
yeah, you only went up there to recharge because our research, our off-season wrap research fantasy preview stuff is going to start next week in earnest. We got some fun stuff for you guys today. We're going to give a shout out to 83 Nation, Chicago Sports Talk meme extraordinaire.
83.
And so we'll do our 83s and then we're going to prep for our research on air. We are going to do a draft where we pick the teams we're going to research. So stick around for that. Let's start with 83s. Who wants to go first?
83.
I can go first.
Bring it on.
I got an interesting one. Finally, a wide receiver.
Holy
There we
shit.
go.
There we go.
Interesting enough, when I was looking up this stuff earlier, the guy we're about to talk about actually was a co-producer of ESPN Outdoors.
Perfect. Perfect.
Yeah, where it was like a hunting and fishing show. But let's talk about Mr. Golden Richards, Golden Dicks. Wide receiver, played for Dallas Cowboys, Chicago Bears. Latter part of his career went to Denver, but didn't play much because he was basically done after that. He's a Mormon, lives in Utah.
All right.
So naturally, he went to BYU.
Just like our favorite Mormon, Jamal Williams.
But because BYU is mostly at the time a running team, he elected to go to his senior year to the University of Hawaii.
Oh.
But let's talk about his BYU career. From the start at BYU, he was the fastest player on the team. As a sophomore, he led the team in receiving with 36 receptions for 513 yards and one touchdown. As I said, they were a predominantly running team.
Yeah.
That's why he only had one touchdown. As a junior, he again led the team in receiving with 14 receptions for 287 yards and one touchdown. He was really good with special teams, though. He had 33 punt returns for 624 yards.
He wait,
And
he
four.
hang on, hang on. He led his team with 14 catches.
Yeah.
Were they fucking Iowa?
Right. University of Illinois.
Ugh.
So that year, that was a 17.9 yard punt average.
Ooh.
And he had four touchdowns, 23 kickoff returns for 468 yards. He was the first in the nation in punt returns and 16th in all-purpose yards. He set four NCAA records with most punt return yards, 219 in one game against North Texas State.
Wow.
Most kickoff return yards, 247 yards, and seven returns in a game. He also set the record for average per kickoff return, 35.3 yards in a season, and tied the record for most touchdowns, four on punt returns in a season.
Wow.
Like I said, he elected to go to his senior year at University of Hawaii, where he had 23 receptions for 414 yards and 5 touchdowns before injuring his knee.
That's a solid average per catch. That's like 20 yards a catch.
Yeah. Yeah. So in 1973, he was drafted by the Dallas Cowboys. As a rookie, he was the fastest player on the team and played mostly special teams. But in the NFC Championship game against the Minnesota Vikings, he returned a punt for 63 yards and a touchdown.
Good shit.
Yeah, we're talking like Devin Hester stuff.
I'm saying.
In his second year with Dallas, he was named the starter at wide receiver over Bob Hayes.
Bullet Bob, yeah.
He was the team's long threat. He had receptions of 52, 58, 46, and 43. And it was also his best stat year. 26 receptions for 467 yards and 5 touchdowns. His third year was kind of similar, 21 receptions for 451 yards and 4 touchdowns. And then it just starts dwindling from there.
Not a high volume guy.
His fourth straight season as a starter, he was alternating with Butch Johnson, and he only had 17 receptions for 225 yards and 3 touchdowns. Oh, in Super Bowl 12 against the Broncos, was his most notable career highlight, catching a 29-yard pass from the fullback for the game-clinching touchdown.
Dude, bring fullbacks back. Andy Reid just said they're out of the NFL. We got to change that shit.
Yeah, that was fullback Robert Newsome. Some trick play, I guess.
Damn.
So in 78, with the emergence of Tony Hill, he lost his starting position and was ultimately traded to the Chicago Bears in exchange for a fifth-round draft pick and for a 1979 third-round draft pick.
That's a good return.
Yeah.
He had 27 receptions in 78 with the Bears. And then the following season, he only played 5 games because he had a lot of knee problems. But in that season, would have been the 79 season, he injured his knee while blocking Walter Payton's 65-yard touchdown reception against the Bucks.
Worth it.
And by the way, because it was the 70s, he finished the game. He did not.
It was the power of Christ.
He was immediately placed on the IR after that. And then in 1980, his last season was with the Broncos. He retired after suffering a second straight season and an injury. And as I said before, one of the interesting things about this guy was that he hosted ESPN Outdoors. Some other notable things about this guy. As we all know, King of the Hill, the TV show, takes place in, the Dallas suburbs. And actually, his name came up in an episode where one of Hank Hill's friends, Bill Dotrieve, his cousin, was that Southern drawl gentleman who lived on that estate down in Louisiana. And I'm not shitting you here. His cousin claimed to have slept with Golden Richards.
I gotta watch the episode. I love King of the Hill, man. I gotta catch that one.
Yeah, I love it too. And this is another person, sadly, who dealt going in the 70s and 80s, who dealt with drug addictions from pills and stuff like that. Let's see, drug addiction, alcoholism, 3 divorces, and 12 counts of forgery. The forgery cases were, I looked this up, he was forging checks from his parents for some reason, and they were all for less than like $100.
Yeah, because if you just make him low enough amount of money, you won't go to hell. If you go to $99, fine. 101, you're going straight down.
I don't understand what was going on with that, but he was indicted for 12 counts of forgery for 12 checks amounting each one to less than $100.
See, I was going to ask this question if you guys knew the hierarchies of Mormon heaven, but that joke is now gone because he is not in any of those three levels anymore. He has definitely exited that time, that period.
Right. He's not getting his own planet.
Nope. Right. Not Telestial.
No, he's not going to Lord Xenu. Oh, sorry, that's a different religion.
Is it?
Probably not.
I think that's isn't that space or science, spaceology, Scientology?
Spaceology.
Spaceology, yep. Unfortunately for this man, in 2011, he's still alive, by the way, but in 2011, he was diagnosed with Parkinson's, and we all know that once this guy dies, if he gives his brain to research, we'll find out it's CTE.
Sure.
And the doctors are attributing his Parkinson's to, you know, all the hits from football, drugs and alcohol.
Divorces.
He still lives with his two sons in Utah. So that's Mr. Golden Dix, Golden Richards.
See you in hell, Golden.
I got a hometown boy. A guy who stayed home. All right, so I'll admit, though, like, I was kind of looking forward to 84 because I already have my bit for the next one, but I was like, okay, you got to be present. You got to be grounded. So I decided to go with the guy who is also very grounded. A man who is the epitome of do the work and go home. With the man with the NFL stat line in his entire career of 12 receptions, 123 yards, zero touchdowns.
Nice.
Tight end Chad Mustard.
Chad Mustard, tight end, sweet.
Yeah, so he's basically the perfect example of someone who sows their wild oats and then just goes home and is like, I did what I could. I'm back on the farm. Okay. So Chad was born in Nebraska, where he played football, ran track, and had the classic tight end sport pedigree of basketball, baby.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm not sure what the level of competition in high school sports is in Nebraska, but Mustard
it's not that good.
That's what I feel. I was like, it's probably an accumulation of 60 people.
Yep.
So Mustard was named to All-State in football in both his junior and senior year, while being named All-State in basketball his senior year.
Okay.
So Mustard ended up going to college on a basketball scholarship, and he played for the University of North Dakota, where he played forward and center. He was a big dude.
Okay.
So by his junior year, he kind of built up a reputation for being loud and emotional during the games, such as yelling and pumping his fists, which ended up getting him removed from the starting lineup, a la Howard Dean in 2004.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's peak white guy excitement.
He was a competitor. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think he got benched not because it set like a bad precedent or like, oh, this is like bad press for the team, but I think head coach Rich Glass was just really annoyed with him because Mustard finished his career as the eighth highest scorer in North Dakota history with 1,568 points.
Wow. It's okay. It's a shame that this guy never joined like the army and became colonel.
What kind of Mustard do you guys like? I was thinking about that too. I was like, I wonder what the boys feel.
Being from Chicago, I'm a fan of like a lot of different types of mustard. Horseradish mustard, dill mustard, you know, classic yellow mustard. I'm a big fan of mustard.
I think it depends on the application. That's kind of what I've...
That's true. Every recipe or dish calls for a certain type of mustard. That's true.
I make a really good honey mustard mac and cheese in the Instant Pot.
God, that rules. With some chicken nuggets on the side, dude. Let's go.
Usually we get some tots, you know?
Yeah.
And then we throw them in the air fryer. You freeze them, and then you throw them in the air fryer, and you make like, you know, deep fried fucking mac and cheese balls.
I picked up that truffle butter up in Wisconsin. I'm going to make Parmesan truffle tots for us tomorrow, maybe.
Hell yeah. We made some of those mac and cheese balls for the Super Bowl, but Ryan was so high on painkillers. I don't think he fucking knew that they were there.
I barely even remember Waleed being here. As of right now, I don't even think I could tell you the teams that played the Super Bowl. No, I
could. That's a good time. All right. So after basketball, Mustard transitioned back into football, where he had 8 receptions for 146 yards and a touchdown, helping North Dakota State win the NCAA Division II National Championship. Mustard would go on to go would go on to be undrafted in 2002, but was signed to the Omaha Beef of the National Indoor Football League.
Wait, hold on. There's a team called the Omaha Beef?
Yeah, for the National Indoor Football League.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Awesome.
We got to find those jerseys.
Oh, yeah, I would love an Omaha Beef jersey. I would get it for my buddy in Nebraska.
All right. So while he did give up the beef because he signed with the Browns in 2002 to the practice squads, where he also played for the Rain Fire during that period, because they signed him to like a futures contract of like, hey, go be an expat and show your skills there. We'll bring you back. So in 2003, he was released, re-signed, and put on the active roster for the Browns. He played in 3 games before being waived and re-signed the practice squad again. Then he was signed to the active roster a week later. Mustard would claim that his time in Cleveland was so iffy. I lived in a hotel there for almost 2 years.
Oof.
And I think that sounds like a prison sentence.
Yeah, right?
So finally in 2005, the Browns would let Mustard be free, where he'd be signed to the Panthers, and he would be cut before preseason. Mustard would then be signed to the Broncos, where he played 3 seasons, where he had his career high of 5 catches for 62 receptions in 2007.
Hell yeah.
I know, that's why I picked him, man. I was like, Ryan's a Mustard guy, and he loves tight ends. No shitty touchdown, though. So whatever parlay you'd put on him for 5 years would never pay out. So he retired in 2008, where he would return home to be a teacher, basketball coach, and realtor in Omaha, Nebraska. So Mustard humbly claims to be living his life now as a shadow of his former athletic self per his Twitter account, Old Mud 40.
Nice.
That's good. That's the end of our Mustard tale.
Yep. He's just a normal dude.
Can I just say too, that like, as someone who knows someone from Omaha, I feel like a lot of people are like, most people that live in Nebraska are realtors. It's like their side gig. Like my buddy's dad is just like, he's a realtor. He's a guy that like goes, puts ads on shopping carts and, I feel like everyone becomes a realtor in Nebraska.
But like I hate to be like the shitty spoiled California kid, but like, what is there in Nebraska to sell besides like yard acreage for corn?
Dust.
Dust by the parcel. Yeah.
All right. So I'm on the Omaha Beef football website right now.
You can buy their shit.
Yeah.
Really?
Their merch is called Beef Gear.
Yeah.
So we'll be recording next week in our fresh beef gear.
Shane, what's the like the mascot? Is this a cow or what is it?
Yeah, it's a steer.
Or is it like a T-bone steak?
Just a big old slap of meat. It could have been back in the day, but yeah, it's just a steer.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So I'm gonna hop in and do my 83, and I'm gonna try to do this one quickly. But
you won't. You said it.
I know. I have a great existential dilemma that I want us to suss out in here too, so it might take a while. So we're gonna talk about the 1983 NFL draft because it's considered the most famous one of all time for a bunch of different reasons. Mostly the quarterbacks, but we're going to bury the lead for a second, and I want to talk about some fucking guys in this draft. All right. Hall of Famer Eric Dickerson, drafted 2nd overall by the Rams. Hall of Famer Bruce Matthews, you know, the Matthews family with the most career Pro Bowls, beating the Slaters. Bruce Matthews was drafted 9th overall by the Oilers. Hall of Famer Darryl Green was drafted 28th by Washington. Nice. There's 3 guys the Bears drafted that are noteworthy. You got Richard Dent, future Hall of Famer in round 6. We've got future Hall of Famer and podcast subject Jimbo Covert in round 1. And then also podcast subject Tom Thayer was drafted in the 3rd round.
Yep.
All-stars here.
Future NFL head coaches Gary Kubiak and Mike Mularkey were drafted by Denver in round 8 and San Francisco in round 9, respectively.
Excellent.
Nate Newton, who's appeared on our podcast as the guy that got arrested transporting hundreds of pounds of cannabis across state lines, was an undrafted free agent, as was future Super Bowl starter Bart Oates, who had an incredible cameo as himself on Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
That's right.
You're Bart Oates, the center for the Super Bowl Giants. 87 and 91. The G-Man. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm gonna have to. Okay, so we got to go back and we got to watch that episode of Aqua Teen. And we got to watch. I got to find the King of the Hill episode where our guy is in.
Golden Richards was a Dallas Cowboy.
Yeah, yeah, he caught a touchdown pass in Super Bowl 12.
He was a beautiful man.
So this is all some fun stuff, but let's talk about the drama that we're here for, and that's the round one quarterbacks. So before we get into the specifics, here's some fun stats. Six quarterbacks were picked in the first round. All six went to AFC teams. Three of them are Hall of Famers.
Nice. So it's just right now.
Yeah, essentially. In 11 of the 16 seasons that followed this draft, the AFC was represented in the Super Bowl by a quarterback taken in the first round of this draft.
Damn.
Nice.
They went 2-9 in those games.
Oops.
Wow.
However, most interestingly, two of the three that would become Hall of Famers did not play for the teams that drafted them in 1983. But before we get too far, I want to apologize because I missed something last week and I really feel bad about it. You know, the 1982 was the strike shortened season and the players, some played, some didn't, whatever. I want to point out that the MVP of the 1982 NFL season was a kicker.
Huh? How is that possible?
Mark Moseley was the 1982 NFL MVP kicking for Washington.
Just because he had like the most points during the season or?
I don't know. Maybe he stumped hardest for the owners and they were like, this guy, we want this guy. Okay. Who knows? So anyways, let's move on. So this is a story about labor rights, Frank Kush being an asshole, Donald Trump, bunch of random shit. So let's get into it. The Colts had the first pick after the Frank Kush led Baltimore Colts went 0-8-1 in his first season. They were primed to take the stud of the draft, quarterback John Elway. Elway did not want to play for Kush, who after last week, I'm sure we could all understand why.
It's week three of Frank Kush.
Right. And he said, he outwardly was like, I don't want to play for Frank Kush. So he decided he would rather play baseball since he had previously been drafted by the New York Yankees. All right. So this was the fourth draft to ever be televised. And it was the first big one since so much intrigue was going around what was going to happen with the first pick. I read a Sports Illustrated article about it because right around this time, the shift to the West Coast style of offense means that quarterbacks started becoming the important franchise players that they are today. Sure. So the franchise quarterback as a concept was just coming into focus, and now we've got a draft with a bunch of potential ones. So the potential first pick refusing to play for the team drafting led a lot of extra eyes to the draft broadcast. So this was like the first big, really frequently watched NFL draft. So the pick was up. Baltimore takes Elway, whatever. Elway made it clear he wasn't going to play for Kush and the Colts, so a bidding war took place behind the scenes. Now, as the bidding is happening, the draft is going on. The Bears took Jimbo Covert from Pitt, who was a blocker for Dan Marino, who was still on the board. All right. Marino actually had accusations of drug use that came out before the draft, which some say was the reason for his fall. So
I've seen Ace Ventura. That's probably true.
Yeah, it's probably true. He probably did some cocaine. I'm still just going to think about, like, I've been spending a week in my headcanon of rewriting Chicago sports history with those 80s Bears defenses with Dan Marino at quarterback. They would have won six Super Bowls in a row. Yeah, So a lot of quarterbacks are on the board. At pick 7, the Chiefs take Todd Blackledge. The Bills use pick 14 to take quarterback Jim Kelly. Jim Kelly had played for the U in Miami and had zero interest in playing for the Bills. He hated the weather and made it extremely clear publicly that he wasn't going there. So instead, he took an offer to go play for the Houston Gamblers of the USFL. And nice. While there, they pioneered the run and shoot offense, which is the first offense to truly do what we see teams do today, abandoning 22 personnel, which is two backs and two tight ends, and putting out like four wide receiver sets. When the Gamblers folded after 3 years, along with the USFL, thanks to Donald Trump,
woo,
he did it. So this is ironic, though, because Trump would file the lawsuit that bankrupted the USFL. And, you know, he's been around a lot of the drama over the last few episodes, as a matter of fact. He attempted to buy the Baltimore Colts in 1981 and then again in 1986, using former podcast subject George Allen as the face of his purchase. Really? So
maybe that's why this franchise is cursed.
Well, check this out. Around this time, he also apparently tried to buy the Dallas Cowboys, but changed his mind right as a deal might have happened. So I have a question for you guys, and I want you to explain your answer. What do you think is the worst outcome of these two scenarios? Scenario one, Jerry Jones buys the Cowboys and Donald Trump becomes the 46th president of the United States. Or Donald Trump buys the Cowboys and Jerry Jones becomes the 46th president of the United States.
Ooh, those are both bad scenarios.
Right.
How old is Jerry? Isn't Jerry like 87 or not 87, like 107?
I think they're right around the same age for argument's
sake. Yeah, he's in his 80s, just like Trump.
I mean, they're both racist, so like, yeah, he's 80.
Everyone that I asked about this, I didn't ask you guys on purpose because I wanted to get your honest reactions, but everyone I asked about it was like, yeah, if Trump bought the Cowboys, that franchise goes under.
Oh yeah.
He would have bankrupted. He would have bankrupted that franchise.
You can't even like straight up market the most marketable fucking team in America with that dumbass. You know what I mean? At least like,
right.
At least Jerry Jones will listen to people. Like you see him in the war room on draft night. People are like, okay, Jerry, we're doing this. He's like, cool.
Right. So Trump causes the USFL to fold. Jim Kelly ends up going to Buffalo years later and becomes a Hall of Famer and is now ironically a deeply beloved figure in the city he initially refused to play for. Tony Eason goes to the Patriots at pick 15. And hilariously, he was the quarterback for the Patriots loss to the Bears in Super Bowl 20. But that isn't the worst Super Bowl loss for any of these quarterbacks. Elway lost 55-10 to San Francisco.
Wow.
And that's not even the biggest playoff loss, which goes to Dan Marino, who lost 62-7 to Jacksonville in his final game, which was my episode 62 of the week. Yeah.
That's right.
In your face. So
what happened if he was a Bear?
No shit. So Pittsburgh has pick up at 21, right? And they're always picking in the early 20s, right? Dan Marino is on the board. Terry Bradshaw only ended up playing one more year or two more years after this. And Marino was the hometown kid that was supposedly the QB2 of the class. And they're at pick 21. So the Steelers instead draft a defensive tackle and wallow in QB hell for the next 10 plus years. The Jets have a quarterback in front of them. Dan Marino's right there. Fan base is screaming for Marino. And the Jets go quarterback, Ken O'Brien.
Of course.
Who actually has a serviceable career, makes the Pro Bowl, but obviously this is a bad pick. Marino falls all the way to the Dolphins at 27 and lights the league on fire. In his second season, he threw for 5,084 yards and 48 touchdowns in 1985.
Damn.
6 days after the draft, one of the most lopsided trades in NFL history goes down. The Broncos get Elway. The Colts get backup quarterback Mark Herman. The fourth overall pick in the draft, Chris Hinton, and a future first-round pick. Kelly and Elway's refusal to play for the teams that drafted them, coupled with like the Eli Manning trade, are some of the most notable instances of a player refusing to play somewhere that they didn't want to, a right that people don't really think about as important, but isn't something players get to decide these days until 3 to 4 years into their career. So these guys are like, fuck it. I have leverage now. I'm not going to play in Buffalo. Fuck that.
Yeah, for sure.
So after 1983, quarterbacks take the next step in overall positional value. The NFL draft becomes must-see TV, and the USFL staked a claim that they were a serious league ready to dethrone the NFL. So that's my 83, the 1983 NFL draft.
That's a
excellent,
good one,
Tony.
That's one of my faves, man. It's there's a whole ESPN 30 for 30 from Elway to Marino. It's a little documentary on it. It's really good.
Oh, really?
Yep. It was one of the first run of 30 for 30 episodes. It was really good.
Interesting.
Yeah. So we have some stuff. We have some business that we're going to attend to on air, damn it. So meet us back here in a couple minutes and we'll go over our research plans for the rest of the summer. And goodbye.
Did you come here to kill me?
No, Carl.
Oh, that's so great. In my average home, but why do I always feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone? And I always feel like somebody's 83. And I have no proxy. Oh, I always feel like somebody's 83. Tell me, is it January 27th, 1991. Best friggin' day of my life. Norwood missing wide. Freaking tuna coaching on the sideline. You like hiking the ball. No. I followed your whole Pro Bowl season in 90. You were playing out of your mind that season.
And we're back.
Ryan hitting that Tina Turner peak right there.
Shout out. Way to go. All right, so the way we're going to do this is we're always trying to sharpen the blade, right? And we're going to spend the next 10 weeks doing team research, team recaps, team what did we miss? What can we look forward to? Are there any changes in the system? All that kind of stuff. We're going to get ready by each covering a team. So each week we'll cover a team and we'll each talk for about 10, 15 minutes on the team and tell you what you need to know to get you ready for next year. So we're going to do this draft style. We're going to go around one by one and we're going to pick teams until there's nothing left. So Ryan has graciously taken the last pick. So he'll have 10 teams while Shane and I have 11. So Ryan, if you want to pick a number between 1 and 50, so Shane and I can figure out, our draft order, that would be excellent.
Okay. I got it.
All right, Shane, what do you got?
I got lucky number 13.
I'm going to go with 36.
Wow, my number was 38.
Oh, all right. I'm going to take the wind. So I'm going to defer. So Shane, why don't you go ahead and take the first pick?
Oh man, that's tough. I was thinking about this like when we were at commercial of like who I wanted and I had a really good one and then my brain got fried. But I did just remember it. I'm going Indianapolis at 101.
Okay.
I want to talk about Anthony Richardson for 15 minutes.
Okay.
No, I'm just excited about that team. And I think they're not that they're going to be sneaky good, but I think they're going to be not dog shit like last year. So I would like to kind of dive into that offensive scheme a little bit more with, what's the head coach's name? Shane, it's not
Steichen.
Steichen, there you go. And they got enough weapons too, so I just kind of want to see like what they're about. They're fun. Okay. I'm a Colts peripheral fan.
Okay, secondary team love. I'm gonna take a weird one to start. I think this team's gonna give me a ton to write about. I'm gonna go with the Seattle Seahawks.
Interesting.
I like that.
I really want to get to the bottom of what do we think the roles are going to be for Ken Walker, Zach Charbonnet. Where does Jaxon Smith-Njigba fit in the offense? I think there's just a lot of fun stuff to talk about in Seattle.
A lot of new arrivals. Yeah.
Will I be wrong about Tyler Lockett for the third year in a row?
No, this is going to be the year that everyone's on Tyler Lockett and he sucks.
Yeah. Or everyone's going to fade him because JSN's coming in. They're like, oh, he's worth nothing.
He could. Yeah. I mean, he could take over that second wide receiver spot.
See what happens. All right, Ryan, who you got?
Is it any surprise? I mean, nope. I'm going Jacksonville.
Makes sense. Ryan's taking his Jaguars. All right, Shane, who do you got?
I realized this week that I'm a homer, but for a different coast. I think I'm just a general fan of football at this point. All these mock drafts that I'm doing and I'm walking away with, like salary cap, snake draft, whatever, I'm ending up with so many Philadelphia players. It's insane. Jalen Hurts in like every league. I don't know why. I think like the third round mocks, I'm just like, these dudes are all replaceable. Just give me the quarterback who's going to give me 25 points a game. I'm done playing I'll sift through the garbage. Just give me the top end guy, and I'm kind of.
Where's Hurts going, like, in those drafts?
I think he's like in the third round, because I know like ADP's all weird right now, where like Allen and Mahomes are like early seconds, and then I'm sure those will fluctuate somehow when we start seeing camp news and people start fading quarterbacks again in one QB leagues, which is like good for you, but yeah.
Cool. Okay. So you're taking the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yep.
All right, that's a good one. I'm gonna go. So one of the things that I enjoyed doing last year was looking at teams that brought in new offensive systems and looking at previous year offensive systems where the coaches coached before. What did it look like? How can we project that? So actually, I kind of want to follow through on some of those and talk about year two in some of these new schemes. And so I am going to go with Miami as my second pick.
Oh, I like that.
I want to see how Mike McDaniel year two looks. And it gives me an opportunity to take a deep dive and try to figure out what made them so successful last year.
Did you see that post? It was either today or yesterday where they have a camera attached to Tua's helmet. So they're like looking at the tape normally, and then they're seeing like the first person perspective. So him and Tua can break down like all the reads he's making, where his eyes are going.
Oh, that's cool as hell.
Yeah. It's nice to not have a 97-year-old head coach who will utilize the tools around him.
Right. All right, Ryan, who's your second team?
You know, I'm going to go with some love for my tight ends. And I'm going to go with the New York Giants.
Okay. That's an interesting second one. I'm excited. You're going to have to tell us what year two of the Brian Daboll system looks like.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I don't really like... Personally, I don't like the NFC East, but I think the Giants are going to come out and potentially win that division this year.
That's wild. All right, we'll hold on to that. We'll save that clip.
We're not even doing gummy takes. That's just Ryan's take of the week.
Yeah.
Giants are going NFC East title.
All right, Shane, what do you got?
This is a tough one because, like, the inner masochist in me is like, pick a really shitty team. Pick something you're going to hate researching so much. But I think I'm going to do a little bit of a duality on that with a team that we thought was going to be really good last year, but absolutely shit the bed and I don't think can get worse and potentially might have a positive regression is the Denver Broncos.
Okay. Yeah, that would make sense to me.
I want to see why Russ was so bad. I want to dive into how Peyton can fix this, and I mean, nobody's going to win comeback player of the year besides DeMar Hamlin, but that offense is just like stacked to the brim with talent of like 9 wide receivers, a good tight end, two running backs.
It's going to be real interesting if they can get that shit together.
All right. I'm going to make a little crazy play here because I think there's money to be made on this team. And if you can figure out where it's going to go, You're good, right? Because there's a lot of fantasy implications for this team. I would say there's at least 5 or 6 fantasy assets we're talking about on this team. And I want to know what year one of the Jordan Love regime looks like. So I'm going to go with Green Bay.
Wow. Okay.
Also fulfills my shitty team need. So because they're going to be terrible. But I want to find out what does Jordan Love look at?
Sure. As we mentioned earlier, Montgomery has some type of injury. Do we not know?
No, I don't know anything.
He went to the locker room, and that was the end of the conversation.
Yep.
I'm going to roll with Detroit just because I am high in this year too.
I'm surprised you waited that long. I figured Detroit would be your second team.
Yeah.
I was going Detroit next. Well, if I didn't get sniped,
sniped.
I'm just doing this off the top of my head. So that was the next team that came to mind. So
okay. To be fair though, Detroit Ryan did pick his Super Bowl teams with his picks. So he did go 101 Jacksonville, and then 103 he went Detroit. So it makes sense.
True.
Yeah. All right, Shane, you're up.
All right, I think I'm going trash. I think I want to delve into it, and I'm going to go to the the Darth father himself of Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots.
Oh,
I think I don't think that's going to be as trash as you think. But
no, I think they're going to get better because they don't have Matt Patricia being the offensive coordinator, and I think they can only really go up. Granted, they're probably going to come in last in that division, but I do want to see Mac Jones hit some more gritties this year. So I really hope Bill O'Brien can scheme some open things, even though he only has Ramondre Stevenson as a weapon. So
true.
I'd like to see where that data lies.
Okay. I was thinking Atlanta, but it's almost a little too juicy, and I want to be a bit more modest. You know what I mean?
You don't want to suck up all the fun.
Yeah, I don't want to look desperate for it. You know what I mean? I want to play it cool. Yeah. So I'm going to read the absolute other end of the spectrum in terms of interesting and potentially successful, and I'm going to go with the Arizona Cardinals.
Okay.
I'll scrape the bottom of the barrel.
Are you ready to talk about Marquise Brown for 15 minutes? Because that's the only thing you're going to get.
I want to know if we think Zach Ertz is done. I want to know when we think Kyler Murray's coming back. So
I'm interested to hear what you have to say about Trey McBride.
Well, I'm actually like probably that's a team that I'm looking at to do later in the offseason. So we have a better idea of Kyler's timetable. Because I think that'll change a lot.
Yeah, maybe you save that for the last couple weeks. So we have some clarity.
That's what or I think the plan's going to be.
Or if they bring any competition for James Conner, because I've been getting him for really low values in drafts, and I think he's like the cheapest quote-unquote league winner you can find this year as of right now.
I know we were talking about that in Discord the other day. Who's behind Connor right now in depth chart for Arizona?
Keontae Ingram?
Ingram, yep. Garbage. Absolute garbage.
Tell me, what are they going to do if Connor gets hurt? They're fucked.
They're already fucked, tell me.
They're going to trade 101 again.
Yep. Yeah. All right, so Ryan, you're up.
I'm going to go chalk right here. I'm going to go with Cincinnati. Just because there's a bunch, you know. They got some good stuff going on. There'll be a bunch of stuff to talk about. So,
okay.
I don't mean to roll it back to Arizona, but with the news of DeHoff getting cut, just everybody give me their team where you think he's going to end up.
Baltimore. Where Hopkins is going to end up.
Yeah.
Baltimore is a good, interesting. I mean, they have the most need for a wide receiver now that Lamar's for sure coming back.
And he said he wanted to play with Lamar, too. And they have the most cap space, even though Arizona is taking the cap hit.
Did he make a media statement where he came out and said he wanted to play with Lamar, or is that like a Twitter thing?
He said Lamar, he said Hurts, he said Mahomes, he said Burrow, right, or Herbert?
I think it was Allen.
Allen, yeah. He said all the big-time quarterbacks.
Yeah, all the guys who won the AFC Championship.
Obviously, he's obviously not going to go to Cincinnati. He's not going to go to Kansas City, which... Now that I think about it, that might be a good fit for him. But
be an awesome fit for him.
I don't want anybody in that offense outside of Kelsey at that point.
Nope. Nope.
All right, I'm up, right?
I believe so. Yeah, Ryan went Cincy.
Yeah, I went Cincy.
This is tough, man. Because it just feels like the NFL is just so boom bust, right? Where it's just like, this is a really good team, or it's going to be a really shitty team.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I'm going to go easy. I'm going to go cheap date. I'm going to go, there's too much value, and counteract what you just said, Tony. I'm going Atlanta.
There's going to be a lot of fun shit for Atlanta. So I would like to, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and do Chargers.
Good for you.
What? You're sniping the Chargers from Shane?
I was going to be transparent. I was like, I don't want to take the homer pick because it's just going to make me upset. So I'll just let someone else be more optimistic and be like, hey, quit being so fucking gloom and doom, bro. Enjoy the shit.
So does that mean that Shane gets to do the Bears then?
Well, I don't know. Ryan, it's your pick. What's going to happen?
I won't do the Bears.
I have to take the Bears then.
Looks like you could save until your last pick because we're not taking them.
That's right.
Let's see. Who do I want to do here? Let's let me think of the bottom of the barrel. Let's do Vegas. I'm gonna do Vegas.
That's such a Ryan pick. I love it.
You better love Aiden O'Connell.
Right?
Dude, I love these NFL players. They're like, you know what, dude? I'll get surgery right as the very last moment when I can. You know what? Yep. Fuck the team. Let me get paid. Yep. Who cares?
Good for you, Jimmy G. Fuck it.
Oh, shit, man. This is going too quick. I think I'll go Carolina. I know I talked about them last week or 2 weeks ago where
Carolina.
I think I'm a little bit in on that team. Not that I really want many players from that team, but I think they're going to be a little bit better than people are anticipating. Or it's going to all collapse and you guys have a top five pick.
Well, I mean, in terms of fantasy redraft, I mean, what players do you want from Carolina?
I want Miles Sanders. I think they're going to just feed him the ball and use him as kind of as a crutch to acclimate Bryce. And
yeah, it's going to be good veteran presence to mentor some of these younger guys.
And he had a good season last year for being kind of a rotational piece within Philadelphia's scheme. In a they were a heavy run team, but they weren't like a check down team or anything like that. But I also think even though I've never drafted a copy of Adam Thielen ever, I think he, like Tony said a couple weeks ago, that he'll be a very good value at like round 13 in drafts because he'll give you wide receiver 2 production because he's a good vet, even though he's lost a step or two, but he's a good learning curve for Bryce to kind of figure out the game at a different speed.
And everybody listening will get sniped before you can draft Adam Thielen at value. Cause you'll get to the point in the draft where your league mates are just like, I know this guy's name. Pick.
Yeah. Every boomer league, I'm going to end up in those 6-year-old dudes who are like white guy, wide receiver, round 7.
Yep. Well,
all right. That's fine, bro.
I'm going to go with another team that I think I'm going to have to wait at least a few weeks to talk about, and that's Minnesota.
Okay.
I want to see what the Dalvin Cook situation looks like. Is he going to get cut? Is he a June 1st cut? What's Jordan Addison's role? What do we think the target distribution is going to be between JJ, Hawk, and Addison?
I'm very excited for that coverage because that team is, it's the Atlanta of the North to me. If there's so many juicy angles there.
Right. They're going to play a lot of 38 to 35 games this year.
Get your Kirk Cousins, baby.
Yeah. He's so good for 250 and 2 touchdowns every week. And I think there's a chance that he's up to 280, 300 a week with the possibility of 3.
Yeah, with Hawkinson now and Addison and Jefferson.
I think Cook stays, honestly. Like, he's said, like, maybe I'll take a pay cut because, like, nobody needs a running back right now, especially an older guy, right? No one's going to pay $10 million for running back, so it's like you're kind of just doomed to be here.
He's going to stay there. I mean, I think if he was going to be gone, he'd be gone already.
Yeah. All right, Ryan, you're up.
I'm going to go with my first NFC South team. I'm going to go with New Orleans.
That Derek Carr love, baby.
That's right. Yeah, going Vegas and New Orleans back-to-back is peak Ryan. Yeah.
There's just teams where I saw this and I was like, I got to go bro code. I can't take the homies teams. I can't touch New Orleans and I can't touch Jacksonville.
All right, Shane, who's next?
Yeah, damn, this is tough, man.
Yeah, we're getting down to the shit we don't want.
I mean, like, I will cover whoever, right? But, like, I'm staring at, like, Tennessee and be like, I'm just going to talk about Derrick Henry for 15 minutes.
Right.
Yeah, let's do Tennessee. Let's do Tennessee.
Okay. You want to do Tennessee?
Yeah. And I think I'll make one. I think we'll probably end up just covering all the shitty teams at the very end of the season. Just be like, okay, what are they doing? We're like,
oh, man, I'm going to switch it up every once in a while. I got to.
I think what I'm going to do is probably start with the shittiest team of my list, whatever I end up with. So
yeah, you got to reach a good climax. You can't be like, I busted my nut early and then I got to just sit here for the next 9 weeks.
Yeah, do shit I don't like. So one of the more polarizing conversations on Twitter over the last week is Kenny Pickett. So I'm going to try to get to the bottom of, was this end of season Kenny Pickett breakout a real thing? Are we just occupied by the minds of so many Pittsburgh fans because they're such a great team that they have a ton of fans? Yeah. So I'm going to take the Pittsburgh Steelers.
they did. He did get his playbook stolen. So everyone's going to see run, pass, punt for.
Yep.
When they line up against him.
Yep. Overthrow George Pickens.
Steelers in the middle of the round. Wow.
I've gone full sicko mode because of Hunter, and I'm like all in on Deontay this year.
Okay, you make the same argument for Deontay this year that you made for Miles Sanders last year, right? I mean, positive touchdown regression is going to hit. He out-targeted Pickens in every measurable category that matters. Deontay is a fucking screaming value right now, and the problem is you're not redrafting right now because you could get him for a song. I want Deontay everywhere. I like the way that sounded. All right, Ryan, bring it on.
You know what? I think I'm going to go with my second New York team. I'm going to go with the Jets.
Big Apple Ryan. I love it. Tell me about Aaron Rodgers. Elijah Moore is no longer there. Yeah.
We'll break it down. I feel like I can get some good stuff on the Jets.
I think so
too. There's juicy parts there. You know what I mean? I'm in on certain players.
I really like how that offense is going to be this year, and with Rodgers, I feel like that team's going to finish better than 500. So,
Ryan, before you do any research, who's the running back 2 for the Jets? Is it Bam Knight or is it Michael Carter?
No, it's Knight.
Okay.
The flashes I saw last year, he showed some promise.
Okay.
Yeah, they wouldn't bring in 2 guys over Michael Carter to be like, hey, you're still our guy, just in case.
I
do like Michael Carter. He may be some sneaky fantasy value in redraft, but we'll see how that plays out. Yeah.
This is a team I thought people were going to touch a little bit sooner because like it's such an established franchise and you kind of know what you're getting year after year after year. But I'm going to go San Francisco.
Okay.
I think that's a good one.
I can't quit Brandon Ayuk, even though I know he's overvalued in every format that I play him on. But yeah, I just enjoy watching that team. And I think CMC is still 101. In redraft, I saw some weird shit this week of Justin Jefferson 101, Jamar Chase 102.
Yep.
Jamar Chase 102 and CMC at 3. And I was like, if I'm at 3, I'm jumping up and down with glee every time.
Yep. That was just like last year, man. I got CMC at pick 102. Guy ahead of me took Taylor. I'm like, I don't know why you would fucking do that.
Yeah.
Like, one of the things Hunter said last offseason was true. He's like, dude, the floor for CMC, if he plays all 16 games or all 17 games, is like RB2.
Yeah.
Like, why you even question? Why even question it?
And the first overall pick has such a low probability of you hitting that return of investment, so you might as well just swing for the fence, right? Of like, fuck it, we ball.
Yeah, go with it. I'm going to go with the Buffalo Bills here. I'm going to try to debunk the Dalton Kincaid mystery. I'm going to try to figure out backfield touch distribution. What are we going to do with that? Can Gabe Davis start you more than 2 games this year? I mean, the answer to that's no, but we'll see. Buffalo had a ton of vacated targets last year. Let's break down where they went.
Then hopefully Skid Rock is retired for good.
All right, Ryan, who's up?
You know what? I want to go with another NFC East team. Let's go with Dallas.
The NFC Beast.
Dude, the Trump team.
Yeah, could have been. What could have been?
The Dallas Americans.
It's going to be real interesting. I mean, you know, no more Zeke. Obviously, Pollard's going to be the lead running back in that offense. But they've got so many weapons at wide receiver now after the draft. So,
well, I want to figure out what that new offensive scheme looks like because they got a new OC.
Right.
Shane, you might know that OC, right?
Yeah, that's the same dude who's going to do really well because he left the Chargers.
There you go.
It happens every time. It doesn't matter who it is. You can pick a dude out of the fucking who picks up the trash and be like, that's going to be the best janitor ever. as soon as he leaves the SoFi Stadium or San Diego Stadium, it just happens. But I'm going back to LA. I'm going the Rams.
Oh, okay.
I want to see what 97-year-old Stetson Bennett can do for that team. And where Cooper Kupp falls in line with that team structure of, are they going to keep him? Do they just be like, hey, we're fully rebuilding this bitch? Or Puka Nacau, because I know he got drafted there too. So,
yeah, we'll see. That's going to be, I wonder, that might be, do you feel like that might be a team that you wait till later because we don't know about Stafford?
Yeah, I think so. And also too, I feel like that team is such like a mystery, right? Like, who's the head coach there? Sean McVay. Yep. Sean McVay is like the inverse of Kyle Shanahan, where Kyle Shanahan just fucks with the media all the time, where I think Sean McVay holds everything very close to his chest. So he doesn't really ever let anybody know. And then maybe we can talk about Cam Akers and what the expectation of that is and Zach Evans, that kind of stuff. So,
okay. I am going to go ahead and look at the Washington Commanders for my next team.
Who, by the way, I don't know if you guys saw this the other day. They may have to change their team name because someone owns the rights to the Commanders, apparently.
I really think it's going to be the Washington Americans. I've been saying that since COVID started.
Really?
Just be the Hogs, man.
Oh, that'd be sick.
Washington Hogs.
I love it.
Colors are there.
Yeah. All right, Ryan.
All right, so this will be my ninth pick. I'm going to take a bullet for us this week, and I'm going to go with probably who's going to be the worst team in the NFL this year, and I'll take Tampa Bay.
All right.
We had a different version of bullet because I feel like we're all kind of playing chicken around certain teams right now. I really don't want that team.
Trust me, there won't be too much to talk about, especially after we saw that first pass from
Baker Mayfield.
It's
like 5 yards over his head.
Yuck. And it was only like a 15-yard pass.
Okay, in redraft, gun to your head, who do you take, Chris Godwin or Mike Evans?
Chris Godwin.
Godwin, yeah.
Really? That's surprising.
Yeah. Evans is done.
Damn, man. I'm like in the minority.
Unless he gets traded somewhere, he ain't gonna do shit this year.
I don't think that's a position of feed for Baker. So I think I'd be interested, like, where do Baker's targets go? Do they go to the outside receivers? Do they go to the slot? You also got to figure they're playing a totally different offense. They're not playing the Tom Brady offense anymore.
I mean, they both can throw for 5 yards, so I mean...
That's true. That's fair.
All right, so we all have 9 right now, which means there's 5 teams left. So Houston, who else?
Baltimore, Kansas City.
Oh, no, it's Baltimore.
Chicago and Cleveland.
That's right, yep.
And it's my pick, right?
Yep.
I'm going D'Amico Ryans, Houston Texans.
Very nice. Tell me all about their very, very small offense.
Damian Pierce, and that's it.
Well, it's Bryce Young, John Mechie, and Tank Dell.
CJ Stroud.
Oh, CJ Stroud, that's right. Like, but it's their skill position players are very short.
I mean, they have Dalton Schultz, like, whatever, right? Like,
please talk me out of Xavier Hutchinson, because I'm starting to get him in a lot of places, and I feel like that's a fucking trap.
But like you said, though, like,
good this year, but he's big, dude. He's like 6'4". He's gonna be a receiver somewhere eventually.
But who do they have, right? Of like legitimately,
Nico.
Yeah, he sucks ass, right? It's like,
well, they have Robert Woods.
Okay, but was Robert Woods viable last year when everyone's like, he's gonna be so good at the Titans? No. I can tell you that before the season started. No.
My best ball teams learned that lesson the hard way. Got a lot of Robert Woods last year.
It's like when Julio went there. He's going to do great. Wrong.
All right. Well, I'll take the real bullet here and I'll go Cleveland.
Damn, bro. I can't believe he did that.
As much as I don't want to, because that means I got to talk about the bad man. There's still a whole team there that aren't necessarily bad people that we should probably talk about.
the most morose tone.
Yeah. It'd Dude, be like that.
You know what sucks is explaining to a non-sports fan who's a massage therapist that situation. I was like, this is such a difficult discussion to have with a stranger.
Yes.
All right, Ryan.
I'll go with last the pick. Best. I'll go with the best of the rest. I'll go with Kansas City.
That's a good call. I wonder, Ryan, you're going to have to tell me if Kadarius Toney, if it's a Kadarius Toney season.
No, I don't know if it's necessarily going to be a Kadarius Toney season, but let's see what happens if Kelce gets injured. Guess what's going to happen? Noah Gray is going to make his emergence.
You're disgusting. So that means by process of elimination, I will be doing Baltimore and Shane will be doing Chicago. So I think we got a good set of teams here. A good crop. It's a really good crop. And
we're just going to scramble, right? We're just going to be like, hey, this is the team I'm covering this week. Like no theme, nothing. Just like,
gut. If you want a theme, your picks, go nuts.
Yeah. Just pick whatever you want. I got them all written down and I'll mark them once we do them.
Let's see how in sync we are every week, like our 83s. There's going to be some overlap.
And I want to be able to ask questions about these guys. Or these teams. What do you think about this? And I think, you know, we're all going to pace stuff out the way we feel is best. But next week we'll start having our team preview, so we could talk about, what did we find? What do we like? What do we dislike? Are there trends we're identifying? Because it's really just looking at trends, right?
Right. So just to break it down really quick, Shane's got Indy, Philly, Denver, New England, Atlanta, Carolina, Tennessee, Frisco, the Rams, Houston, and Chicago. Okay. Tony has Seattle, Miami, Green Bay, Arizona, the Chargers, Minnesota, Pittsburgh, Buffalo, Washington, Cleveland, and Baltimore. And I have Jacksonville, the New York Giants, Detroit, Cincinnati, Vegas, New Orleans, the Jets, Dallas, Tampa, and KC.
I love it. I'm excited. This is some of my favorite parts of the year, is the research parts.
Yeah, this was a good segment. We should do this every year.
I agree. And I think that's all we've got for episode 83. Anything before we go?
I got homework for the listeners.
All right, what do we got?
Everybody's going to watch season 4, episode 6, A Beer Can Named Desire. That's the King of the Hill episode where Bobby goes to Louisiana.
Sweet.
And then the Bart Oates episode of Aqua Teen Hunger Force, which is the 10th episode of season 4.
You bought Oates.
Sweet. Okay. Let's watch those and we can come back and have a 2-minute discussion on it next week.
Have a round table.
Sure.
All right. Well, I think that's it, you guys. So that was a great episode. I had a great time. And we'll see you guys next week.
Enjoy your 3-day weekend.
Yes. Woo! Happy Memorial Day, everyone.
Good night, everybody.
Peace. Mythology.